A theologian called Henri Nouwen said this. He said, God speaks to us all the time and in many ways, but it requires spiritual discernment to hear God's voice, to see what God sees and read the signs in daily life. Over the last few weeks, we've heard lots of warnings, and of course, there have been warnings given just this last few days over the storm that has hit northern England. Cumbria, in particular, has been worst affected. And we take these words of advice seriously. If we do not, of course, then things can be even worse. And of course, as John the Baptist, it was prophesied that John the Baptist would come into history and proclaim that there was a Messiah coming and we were to prepare our way forward. It was the first sign that God was on the move once again. And it would come in the form of a voice shouting in the wilderness. Between the periods of the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, there was around 400 years when it appeared as if God was silent. I suspect he was speaking to hearts and minds, but not necessarily prophetically speaking out as John the Baptist would do when he came. But the people were longing and they were waiting for deliverance, waiting for a second exodus. The first one, of course, when they were released from captivity in Egypt. This time, they were looking to be released from captivity, Roman captivity. And this voice that came would be that of John the Baptist. And as we read this passage today, we find that there are a number of names that will crop up later in history. Names of interesting and important significance. Names of dread in some respect. Luke sets this very historically at the time of Tiberius Caesar. He would be a very difficult emperor and challenging to the people who lived during his time and during his rule. Luke says Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea. We know what would happen some 33 years later with Pilate in control. We're told that Herod and his brothers ruled under the watchful and careful eye of Rome. We know about them too and what would happen under their particular beastly rule. And also it was during the priesthood, the high priesthood Annas and Caiaphas, their names would crop up during Jesus' lifetime. And into that arena, the word of God came. A voice was heard, and it was heard in the wilderness. And people were responding in huge numbers. I don't know if you've ever been to a huge gathering of Christians, and I mean sort of thousands, but it is quite an experience when people come together to hear the word of the Lord. That doesn't mean to say you can't meet us in smaller gatherings or indeed in our own lives. But there's something rather special about that. And thousands were being drawn to the voice in the wilderness that was John the Baptist. Thousands of people were wanting to hear what this strange man was saying. Thousands were coming to be baptized. Warnings were issued and received, and people were responding in extraordinary numbers to the voice of God in that place. Interestingly enough, of course, that voice that was calling in a desert place. For many people, it would have been quite a journey to get down to that desert, but I think the desert was more than just that. I think it was the desert places of people's lives that the voice was calling to. Sometimes people are in desert places and it takes the voice of God and his Holy Spirit to reach in to pull them out of that situation. Maybe you've heard the still small voice of God yourself at times when you felt in a desert place. That's what God does. He seeks us out, he looks for us, and he pulls us out of those situations. Willing hearts and minds can be turned at any time to our loving, compassionate, caring God. The voice had a particular message: prepare the way for the Lord. So John the Baptist, when he came, was not the Messiah. And of course, people got the wrong end of the stick for a long time. But of course, he was not the Messiah. He was preparing the ground for the Messiah to come. And even before the Messiah would come, they need to repent. He came preaching a baptism of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. That's a message that has not gone away and cannot go away. We still need to respond to that particular call upon our lives, because we all need to be cleansed and forgiven. But in particular, this people at this time needed to repent and be forgiven. Repentance means to turn away, to turn around from the lives we've been leading and to turn back towards God. And essentially, that's what these people had to do. That's still the words that we use in many of our services. We've just gone through a prayer of confession ourselves, and it's still a prayer the prayers that we use within baptism, for instance. People need to know that they are sinners and they need to repent in order that they can be forgiven. There are no shortcuts to this. That's what we need to do. And that's what John the Baptist was calling people to do. And the washing in water was the sign of this part of their lives being put right with God, so that the ground would be ready to receive in their lives. The ground of their lives would be ready to receive the coming Messiah. Prepare the way for the Lord. And it seems to me when the time is right in people's lives, just as it was right at that time for John the Baptist and then the Messiah to come, so it's true for us as individuals. The Lord prepares the ground in our lives, and sometimes it comes as a surprise. We hear, you know, God calling in that desert place, and suddenly we find ourselves responding, and we're not quite sure where it's come from, how it's arrived, but we know that we need to respond. One of the greatest joys that I have is leading people in preparation for confirmation. And when it happens, sometimes people can't actually explain why it is they need to do what they're doing. They don't remember their baptism because it was done for them. But God has been working in their lives, and they come to that place where they need to have some clarity about what is going on in my life that causes me to want to go that bit deeper, to prepare my life in such a way that God will be extraordinarily present. Well, of course, we know retrospectively that it is the Spirit of God who does that work, and he works in different ways in different people's lives, and he begins to do that work in such a way that the ground of people's lives is ripe and ready to receive the fruit of repentance and the forgiveness of sins, and to go on in a relationship with our Lord Jesus. And the prophet Isaiah says that preparation includes making straight paths for him, and sometimes the paths we choose to take aren't quite as straight as they may be. So the Lord has to do a great deal more work to get us in the right place, but he does that work. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill will be made low, and the crooked road shall become straight. All the deviations that we take as human beings to dodge God, actually, he comes to sort them out and to bring us into that closer and deeper relationship with him. That's what he always wants to do and longs to do in our lives. We have a God who, we were just singing, is Emmanuel, God who is with us. Not a God who is up there and out there somewhere, but in here, and wanting to work within us day by day. And of course, John the Baptist would preach that if you're going to accept this, if you're going to accept this relationship with your Saviour, then there ought to be some kind of fruit. There ought to be a fruit that is obvious. And if there's no fruit, goes on to say that the tree is cut down. That's a bit of a scary prophecy, but I think essentially it's important that we recognise that there's meant to be fruit as Christians. People ought to be able to see that there is a difference in God's people. And of course we must recognise that if we've turned away from those original commitments that we've made to God our Father, that we need to repent and turn back again. If we distance ourselves from Him, I never think it's the other way around. We do the distancing. He's always there waiting, just like in the prodigal son, just waiting, waiting for us to turn and come back to Him. If we distance ourselves from Him, we need to repent and come back and seek His grace and forgiveness, which is always there and always ready for us to receive. The voice of God preparing the way. I think that's an extraordinary image. I think it's a voice that people are wanting to hear today. I think they want to hear about eternal life and peace and all those things. But of course, the message that we bring comes by way of humility and the cross. And it's that bit that people struggle with most of all. But we can't cut that bit out. That's the bit which enables us to come closer to the God who has called us. So we stick with the message because it is the only message of any report and worthwhile. We have to go along with all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And just pray that people's hearts will be ready to hear the voice of God calling them out of the desert places into a life with Him. A life which will strengthen them and rehabilitate them, as God intends, into a child or children of God who really need to know God's grace, love and forgiveness. Then the peace will come. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where, and if it's been a desert place, I'm sure you have, we all have been in those places. And sometimes, you know, you just pray and ask God to be with you. And the peace comes. It just comes. And that is the precious promise of our ever-living present God. That His peace is for all people at all time who call out to Him. We just need to turn to Him and ask. Listen for His voice today. And see what He's saying to you. Let's be still for a moment as we ask God to speak to us afresh and to strengthen. I think the Lord would speak to us all today about those desert places where the land is scorched and our flesh and our minds are feeling the heat of that burden. But He wants us to bring us to that oasis, that place where there is refreshment and restoration, and invites us to draw upon the well of life that is in Him, in His Son, Jesus.